Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to today's Tea Time and House broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchison. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that your day is blessed wherever you are, saints of God, and that you're enjoying the love and the peace and joy of the Lord in your life. Today we're going to be talking about the need for community Christian fellowship. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and pretty much looking over that entire chapter 2 of the book of Acts. So I pray that you have your Bible, paper and pencils, that you'll be prepared to take notes, study along with us, so that you can search the scriptures to see whether the things that we say are so or not. I feel that this lesson is a very relevant lesson for the body of Christ today, for our society as a whole, and so you don't want to miss this week's lesson. Now, to start off with, let's go ahead and take a look at our key verse, which is going to be Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And this particular portion of scripture talks about the fellowship of believers. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about what the term fellowship means. So here we read from the NIV, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Let's seek the face of God even now. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory, and we ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you for the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that we have with you. We thank you for the communion and fellowship of the saints around the world. Father, we pray for each and every person under the sound of hearing my voice, that your presence will be with them, that your grace and your power be in their midst, to bring healing, to bring provision and salvation into their homes. We thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together as saints of God, together that we can fellowship in your presence, that we can worship together in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. Be with us as we study, as we listen to your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Again, I welcome you to our Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. We're talking about the need for community Christian fellowship, and we're using Acts chapter 2, verse 42 as the foundational text for this week's lesson. So we're going to be talking a lot about fellowship as it is outlined in the New Testament text and the need for community or fellowship in our lives today. And there are some very key things that suggest that people are hungering and thirsting for community, for communion, for fellowship, for connecting. Is more on a social level rather than a spiritual level. And so people have a need of belonging. A sense of belonging is something that's very key for every person who is alive today. And so community and Christian fellowship, one of the benefits of that is that social need for belonging. This is one of the reasons why social media is so popular now. From some of the latest estimates, over 500 million people are utilizing Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, all the different types of social medias. So we see that people have a clamoring for connection, a clamoring for community, even if it's a virtual community. And how much more, saints, if we could have those clusters of believers and fellowships as we'll see outlined in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You can see the great excitement that surrounded the early church as people's not only spiritual needs were being met, but their social, emotional needs were being met, as well as their physical and material needs. And this is what the need for community that is very relevant for our society today. And this is commonly referred to as Christian fellowship. Now, there's a Greek word for fellowship that is used, as we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. It says there were four areas that the Christian community centered on in the New Testament text. The first area was teaching. The second area was fellowship. The third area was breaking of bread. And the fourth area was prayer. Now, even though we're going to be keying more on the second of the four that was mentioned here, which is fellowship, we're also going to talk briefly about teaching, breaking of bread, and prayer. Well, these four components is what caused the early church to thrive and what caused the people to feel whole and complete, whereas one portion of Acts says that they were all together and on one accord, and there were no needy persons among them. And I believe that that statement is not only referring to their physical and material needs, but their emotional, their social, and their spiritual needs as well. So I see today, even with by the popularity of our social medias, that there's a vacuum for social needs and emotional needs being met, where people will have Facebook friends, so to speak, where they will share some of their life situations with, because they seemingly have no one in their immediate circle where they feel close enough connection where they could share and feel edified and loved and encouraged. And this is true for even for those who are parts and members of local churches. So we have to wonder why that is, thanks to God, and we need to be able to address these issues. I was thinking about this greatly today as I was out in the community visiting some of the local congregations in the area, some small, some medium, some large size, based on the numbers of people that attend, based on the size of facilities and things as such. But this particular one that I fellowship with today was a larger facility with a larger congregation of people. And as I was approaching the facility, I could notice it's like it seemed so impersonal. It seemed in the community in which the facility exists, there's a lot of economic depressive areas, a lot of people who seem to be having addictions to alcohol and or drugs, and perhaps living in very unstable situations in life. And it just struck me so harshly that if with this major facility being just within eyesight, and still the problems that plague the communities still exist. And I understood more about how the early church thrived. I understood more about how, when the scripture says, and the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. They were not just coming to church. They were not just attending church services. In fact, as we look in the book of Acts, we don't see any indication of what we commonly refer to as church today. But the scripture says every day the Lord added to the church, that is to the community of believers who were enjoying fellowship with each other. And so that is the one thing that I want to key on today, is that I see lots of people, I hear from many people who are parts of congregations, some small and large or in between. But yet still, when their church service is over, they run and they're tweeting on Facebook from their services. They're sending Facebook posts, posting pictures of their church services, instead of enjoying the fellowship of the saints. And one of the reasons I believe that is because they really don't have any fellowship with the saints. They're simply attending a service, and watching a program, almost as if watching a television show or a movie. You're a spectator and you're not a participator in the life of the church, at least during what we call the worship services. Now, many congregations may have other meetings throughout the week and following and prior to those meetings, but for the most part, I sense that most of the people who attend these larger churches in particular do not have any real connection with the persons that they attend those services with. And that wasn't true with the early church. And so as we look at these four areas that made up the fellowship of believers, we can also see, and I believe each person who's listening today will also see the need for community today, the need for genuine Christian fellowship. Now, the word for fellowship in the Greek was a word named koinonia. Koinonia is a Greek word that basically means Christian fellowship or communion with God, or more commonly, with fellow Christians. And this is what the book of Acts was talking about that we read earlier. It was talking about this sense of Christian fellowship where they showed they cared for one another by how they shared with one another. And then we see that the fellowship wasn't just a program type of event. It was a normal activity of life. For as we visit Acts chapter 2, and let's go ahead and go there now and start reading some of the context of that particular verse that we read, to understand that as the scripture talks about, they met daily. So this meant that they were living in a close proximity to one another. Those who lived in a close proximity, they took upon the life of a community. They had a common unity. And one of the texts we'll see says that they shared things with one another. And this all happened after the day of Pentecost. We see in Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of the verse, it was, and when the day of Pentecost came, it said they were all together in one place. And then it talks about the fact that suddenly the sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there, we know about the text about them, the tongues of fire that separated and rested on each of them. And verse 4 said, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's the beginning of chapter 2. And this foundational text that we use also came from chapter 2 in verse 42. So you see, after that initial event, we see the disciples preaching the gospel to the crowds, as Peter in verse 14 says, and Peter stood up with the 11, says Peter raised his voice and addressed the crowd, and he spoke about Jesus and the fact that their forefathers had crucified him. But he also talked about the fact in verse 17 that in the last days, God says he will pour out his spirit upon all people. He says that our sons and daughters will prophesy, our young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. He says in verse 18, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So you see the initial inspired messages that stirred the hearts of the people. After this initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the inspirational messages began to go out to the masses of people. And the scripture tells us that many believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, after Peter began to preach and proclaim his message, the people came to Peter and asked him, brothers, what must we do in order to be saved? So you see, there was a need for the inspirational message to go forth to the masses in the initial stages of the early church. But we noticed that they did not continue to do the same thing week after week to the same places, to the same people. For the gospel, it was going to be proclaimed the way Christ had told them to, that they were prophesied to all nations, that they were to go and let this gospel be proclaimed to as many as the Lord our God shall call. So as the disciples gathered these masses of people, they saw the need for fellowship among the believers. There was no longer just an initial need for them to hear the inspirational message, for they had already heard the inspirational message. They had already believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they were calling them into fellowship with one another. And this is what we see happen by the time we got down to verse number 42 in our foundational text. So you notice that now when we get to verse 42, they're no longer out in the streets preaching to those same persons. They were not gathering those same persons every week to hear the same message over and over again, for the message of Christ doesn't change. The message of Christ is the same, whether it was proclaimed 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 100 years ago, today, tomorrow, or 1,000 years in the future. The message of Jesus Christ is the same. So there must come a deepening of the relationships, which unfortunately today in many places it doesn't seem to be the deepening of the relationships as we see developed in the early church in these texts we're reading today. Today we're talking about the need for community Christian fellowship. And so now we get a little bit of the background of what led us to verse 42. And now we see that obviously the people had more needs than just the spiritual component of life. They had social needs. They had emotional needs. They had physical needs. They had material needs. They had financial needs. And this is what created the fellowship, the community of believers, where people had all things in common with each other. And in many cases today, that is simply not true, for people may drive all the way across town just to attend a worship service. They may, and they only go to that side of town one day a week, or if they have a weekly Bible study, they may go there twice a week. Many churches today, and I encourage many to continue to do this pattern of setting up life groups, cell churches, in smaller numbers of groups where people can get together to perhaps create some of the needs that need to be met for teaching fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer on a more personal level. And even the fact that most of those larger churches that are doing this type of work understand that there's a need, that the larger venue of service is not serving for the people. If the once a week group gathering were able to fulfill and meet the needs of the people, there would be no need to start life groups, cell groups, house groups, or smaller groups in order to nurture the people. So we see, thanks to God, not only with the New Testament text we're reading today, but we see even from our contemporary society that as churches begin to grow and then start to get into decentralized into smaller groups, that's because of the need for community. People need to feel connected. People need to be able to be encouraged. People need to encourage others. People need to have someone to share with. People need to have others share with them. This is what creates the bond, the fellowship that we see as we look at Acts chapter 2. And so let's visit again our foundational text in verse 42. It talks about the fellowship of believers. Someone said to me, the fellowship of believers. It says again in verse 14, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were getting an understanding of God's word. Secondly, they committed themselves or devoted themselves. Somebody said devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to fellowship, which is caring and sharing with one another, to the mutual edification of each other. They communed with each other. They spent time with each other. A part of our ministry mandate for Christ Universal Church, which is our self-church network, is a five-pronged attack, a five-pillar attachment that we try to connect those who want to be a part of the universal body of Christ. And we talk about the fact that we should be together, we should have life together, we should grow together, we should pray together, we should worship together. And so this is what we see in the early church, and we should also serve and love together. And so as we think about these things that we see depicted in the book of Acts, and you can look at your own particular spiritual life, religious life, church life, however you want to look at it, I think most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, if those of us who attend church services, we get dressed and we drive off. Maybe you attend a local congregation near you, or maybe you drive across town. But when that particular service or event is over, for the most part, you're living life outside of that group. You're back at work on Monday mornings and you're around your coworkers. You may probably spend more time with the coworkers than you do with your those who are your spiritual family. And you share more with the person sitting next to you on your job than you share with the person sitting next to you in the seats in the pews on Sunday or in your Bible study group on Wednesdays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, whatever days of the week you participate in those activities. So if your needs were being fulfilled in that Christian community, as we see depicted in the book of Acts, there would be no need to have to share it with your coworker or to go on Facebook and to count your popularity by the number of Facebook friends you have. You will have close connections within your local circle where you can be strengthened and edified. Now, there's nothing wrong with participating in these other venues, but they cannot replace the need for community that you, each person, I believe, has on a personal level. And so it is my prayer that as we continue to develop the work of Christ Universal Church and meeting in our small groups, which we call Cell Church Fellowship, for teaching, prayer, breaking bread, and fellowship, and gathering for our monthly corporate worship events, just as it was with the early church, and so they met in the temple courts as well. So let's go back to that text again from verse 42 down to 47, and let's understand more about how this played out in the life of the early church. And it is my prayer today, thanks to God, that we as the body of believers, the universal body of Christ, believers of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation, that we have a common bond on a universal level. Because of our common faith and belief in the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. And by confessing that, we all believe that we shall be saved. And when the day of Christ comes, when he takes his bride back unto himself, all things will be changed. But in the meantime, he gave us the life of the church, the life of community. He gave us a life of fellowship that he called us into so that we can strengthen and edify and build up one another in the faith as well as in life. And so this is why this message is very important for us to not only just take a glance at it and quote it, but to take the meaning, the heart of this message. Again, let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves. Now, notice it didn't say they just attended teaching or attended fellowship events. They attended an event of breaking of bread or they attended prayer service. No, it says that they devoted themselves. And thanks to God, devotedness is more than just something that you're just going through the motions. This was something that they were committed to. It was something that was sacred to them. It was a very special event. It was something that they were committed to doing without being asked to do it. It means devoted. They were very loving or very loyal to each other. They were given over to the display of their love for one another. Another place in Acts that you will see is that the people were so attracted to the community of these believers because of the love they had for one another. So we see the word, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to breaking of bread, and they were devoted, somebody said devoted, they were devoted to prayer. And verse 43 goes on to say, as a result of that, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, because they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and all the believers were together and had everything in common because they were devoted to fellowship. Do you see in these texts here, saints of God? Verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, someone said together, with glad and sincere hearts, they were praising God and were enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Oh, saints, today we're talking about the need for community Christian fellowship. So we see fellowship on display in these particular texts. We see the word koinonia being expressed. That is this Christian fellowship or communion that the saints not only enjoyed with God, but they enjoyed with one another. So we see some very telling things that happen when the church comes together in true fellowship. We see the four things that they devoted themselves to, which I've already alluded to earlier in this message. And we see how the many signs and wonders were performed through the work of the apostles, for God was confirming his word through the apostles. And how the believers expressed true, genuine Christian fellowship, not only by attending the preaching and teaching services, but also devoting themselves to the fellowship of believers. Hallelujah. And where they had everything in common, so much so that in this instance they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who has a need. Thanks to God. It is not about just going to listening to preaching and teaching, which is great. The early church did the same, but that was just one of the four parts of the fellowship of the believers and the life of the community of the early church. And today I see such a great, great need for this type of community to be a part of the everyday life of believers today. This is one of the reasons why social media is so popular. And as based on some reports, they said the first thing people do in the morning, including Christians, is probably check their email or Facebook page. And that's a sad testimony to the life of the church, thanks to God, that we don't reach out and first pray or reach out and say good morning or greet one of our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Even spouses probably don't say good morning to each other before checking their Facebook posts or their Twitter accounts. Children don't say good morning to their parents before checking their Snapchats. So, thanks to God, there is a great void. There's a great void in our society today, and I pray, it is my prayer, as we see in the text that we've looked at today and all throughout the book of Acts, what it means to be a part of a community. And when we're not talking about just living in a general area where you say we're all part of the community, we're talking about having koinonia, having true Christian fellowship with one another, where we can enjoy teaching, yes, preaching, but we also can enjoy fellowship, where we can also enjoy close fellowship by breaking bread, meeting from house to house, and spending time devoted in prayer with and for one another. Oh, thanks to God, I pray, it is my prayer today that as we listen to this message, that it will inspire us. And I sense that there's a longing for most people, even with those within the Christian community, those who participate in local churches. And that's why we try to train, equip, and mobilize believers for their work of service. For we believe that God calls you. He says in the scripture that he sanctifies those he calls. And I believe that God wants to set you apart for your part in the life of the community. Perhaps you should lead a cell group. Perhaps you can devote yourself to teaching. Maybe you want to have a hospitality gift of arranging for the breaking of bread as you gather together. Perhaps some of you can lead in prayer or come together in a group of two or three or more. As the scripture says, wherever two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, he's there in the midst of them. The whole point of the matter is to have true Christian fellowship with each other, where you can strengthen and nurture each other, not just on a spiritual level, but on a emotional level, on a physical level, material level as well, and meet those social needs that we all have. And it is my prayer that each and every one of you, if you're not already connected to a small group or have someone that you can at least connect with, that you will find those persons. If you don't, you can contact us. We'll try to connect you with someone in your local area. We can provide whatever type of fellowship we can from where we are. If you're in the Forest Park area, contact us. We can get together, join us for our weekly cell church fellowships or monthly corporate worship events. Bottom line is, Saints, it's time for the church to take upon the life as we see expressed in the book of Acts, which is what Christ's idea for the church was. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to impart these words into the hearers today. May their life be impacted, and may your word impart their lives where it will bring about change and renewal. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah and amen.